Good evening. Wednesday night, Parshas here. Halacha from the Parshas Makas Barad. What happens in Makas Barad? So Parah says, Moshe, you gotta help me out over here. You gotta get this hail away. So Moshe says, okay, I'm gonna daven. But, very good. But before Moshe davens, what does he need to do? He needs to leave the city. Exactly, Jerome. Only when I leave the city will I spread my hands out to Hashem, HaKolos Yechdolin, V'Bardlo Yehod, L'man Teidakil Hashem Aretz. So I will daven once I leave Egypt, and Rashi explains from the Mechilta, Aval Besoche Erloha Yemispala. In the city, Moshe would not daven, L'visha Haisa Malaya Gilulim. Imagine Moshe davening in the middle of Mitzrayim that would not work. Why not? Because Mitzrayim was filled with idols. You cannot daven in a place that is filled with idols. And the Tosfos, the Daz Againim, is the parish of Tosfos, the Baal HaTosfos on the Torah, and they ask, well, why specifically by Barad was there more of a concern? Moshe has already davened to Hashem at earlier points in the Parsha, so can anyone try to think why there might have been more Avodah Zarah present in Mitzrayim at this particular point? What did they have to do by Barad? They were warned, says Tosfos. Excellent. If you fear Hashem, what should you do, Avi? Bring your animals inside. And what did they do to the animals? They would worship the animals. So essentially, what did you have a lot of indoors? You had a lot of Avodah Zarah indoors because they would worship the animals and they wanted to save the animals. So what did they do? They brought all of the animals indoors because anyone who feared God understood if their animals were left outside, what would happen? The Barad would land and kill the animals. So they all brought the animals indoors. So if you were trying to find a nice quiet corner to daven mincha in, it ain't happening too fast. Why? Because all the Avodah Zarah, meaning all the animals, were inside. But the truth is, the Daz Aken himself, even though they came up with that nice creative answer, they conclude that probably Moshe always left Mitzrayim when he davened. And this is just the example where the Torah makes it clear, but it always happens. But again, if you needed to come up with a reason why specifically by Barad there was more Avodah Zarah present, that's the reason.
The plus side about bringing the animals inside is that they fear Hashem.
Very good.
So you have
right, very good. Right. So clearly there were enough Egyptians who not only did Avodah Zarah, but also feared God.
And one
right.
Was
very good. So A.B. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very nice.
But also when it says Moshe left the city, he didn't leave Mitzrayim, obviously. He just left where he went into.
Right, right. Very good. Meaning he didn't leave the entirety of the country as opposed to the metropolis. Right, right. He left the city. All right. Very good, A.B. Good point. So again, number one, already this evening, I appreciate all the contributions. We're only a minute or two in this year, but this evening, that's not true, baby. That's not true.
Anyways, I know all
about it. You know, see, educators who teach educators have a problem. You know, AB is like, Rabbi, I've been teaching longer than you, man. No, I'm pretty straightforward with my students when I want them to be quiet. I meant that genuinely. However, you can take whichever way you want. I appreciate the contributions this evening, and I hope the contributions continue. This evening, I want to speak about davening in awkward locations. It is now winter break for yeshivos. Lekule Amma, even though this year there's a funky reality where the Bergen County schools are towards the end of winter break already, and the Long Island schools are only beginning their winter break, I think, by Erev Ivoker, I think starting tomorrow or started today, whatever, starting at Tizik Uchavim last night, whatever it was. I think there's only like 2 days of overlap. However, people will be davening in hotels and in all sorts of places. At the pool, so we'll talk about that. And I myself had to delve into the sugya because we recently moved the minyan on Shabbos, right, from upstairs to downstairs. And we were originally davening in this room. And then we went, COVID outside or whatever. And then when we came back, it needed to be upstairs. And we were davening in a main sanctuary for a little bit. And then we came back downstairs. So some questioned whether or not the main sanctuary had a higher level of sanctity than this room where we are. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to leave the main sanctuary. Oh, very good. So we'll talk about that. So there are all these different awkward realities. And I'll preface with a story. There was a two stories. There was an NHL lockout. Right? Remember that in 2005 or so. It was very exciting. The NHL needed to kind of rejuvenate the excitement of hockey. A lot of fans, you know, I guess were not as excited, and there was literally a lockout. And the beginning of 10th grade, it's Som Gedalia, we're fasting, and I broke my fast on a junior combo with my, that's a very fellatio fried meal, with my good Chavrusa Morty Fenster, both in the 10th grade or so at the time. And we were in Dal Marv. Now, we knew the spots, Dal Marv and Madison Square Garden, you know, we were pretty experienced by then. But one person who came to the game with us didn't want to Dal Marv. Said, I'll Dal Marv at home later. Not davening Marv in Madison Square Garden. And even if we had a minion, he didn't think we were a two for him. He was like, I'm going to daven like a mensch later. And, you know, it stays, so I'll break my fast, and I'll daven Marv in my room later. Story number one. Story number two. I get back to Shir after my ninth grade winter break. And Mori Varabi, the Menahel of Rosh Yeshiva of Halb, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, my ninth grade rabbi, says, Nu, did anyone have any inspirational moments over their trip? And I was probably expecting someone from Eretz Yisrael to say they saw a gadol and they davened at the Kotel. And I said, well, you know, I went to Miami Beach. And we, I think we made a minyan on my balcony overlooking, you know, the ocean, and it was sunset. You know, I don't think it was the answer he was looking for, you know, but it was really inspirational, you know, when we got a minyan on the hotel balcony at sunset, you know. Stuff like that. So let's just say I davened in Madison Square Garden, Yankee Stadium, you know, the fountain blew. It's all good. So let's learn some halachic literature and discussion about the various places where people have davened and when it's not in the main sanctuary of a shul. Truma Zadeshin, one of the Rishonim that is often quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. She'ela, question. Mi shehu baderech, someone's on the road. V'hayom ma'ariv, and the sun is already going down. Shehu eislis filas ha-mincha. Time down mincha. V'harehu karev la-malon, and he's on the way to the hotel. Shumas Adeshin, they had winter break also. Where is this hotel? L'ir shekula nachrim. It's an ear which is filled with non-Jews. Sheyuchal ha-agiyah sham ba'od hayom gadol. I can make it in time. Z'av mincha. Shaper tfei sheyamtin l'spal al-ad. So maybe I should wait to daven mincha at the hotel because I'll get there in time before sunset. Oh, or maybe yispal besadeh gamken muumad. Maybe I should just, while I'm on the road, daven on the road. Kigon sheyuchal listalik min aderech. So for some reason, the person asking you the question, which was often the Trumas Hadeshin himself, by the way, he asked the question, right? So some of the sefer are real, some of it is fake. Right? Rav Simon always taught us in Smicha, the Trumas Hadeshin wrote his own questions. Right, and by the way, it's a brilliant way to write a sefer because it's a lot of fun when there's a question answer. So that's how I take notes, by the way. Question answer, it's a good way to train your brain to think a little bit sharply, a little bit more sharply. Oh, so number one, we don't daven outside. Again, there's a discussion about it. But even though Yitzchak daven basada, we try not to daven outdoors, assuming the kavana will be inferior. And right. So Yireh argues the Trumas Hadeshin. Wow. He actually says better to daven while you're on the way. Better to daven before you get to the hotel. Why? Because what happens when you get to the hotel? Yikes. And then he goes on to quote exactly our parsha, the Mechilta that Rashi quotes. He says, you know what's going to happen when you get to the hotel? There is no doubt that you will find the Avodah Zarah etched into the walls. You will find statues in the lobby. Again, a little bit funny to think about. But story number three of the evening. One time, my family went to Las Vegas for a vacation. Now, before we get to the matters of Tumah, let's talk about Avodah Zarah. Guess which hotel we stayed at? It's called the Luxor. So every hotel has a theme. The theme of the Luxor is Avodah Zarah. Very good. Speaking of Parshas Va'era, so there we are, like davening shachris, like facing Paro, you know. So the Luxor theme is Egypt. So obviously it's not intended to be worshipped. It's all shtick. And last year, just this time of year, I think it was actually...
That Avodah Zarah is dead, no one...
Yeah, it's not real Avodah Zarah, but in the Trumas Hadeshin's time, there was the real Luxor, and therefore he said, daven before you get there. So we're not, Baruch Hashem, we don't really need to delve too much into the Avodah Zarah stuff. Obviously, you know, if you're visiting Rome, you know, you don't daven mincha. You can't go into an active church, let alone daven in an active church. So I don't think we need to worry too much about those items. However, we should not take for granted that there's a clear halacha that you should not daven where there is Avodah Zarah. We'll talk about the tumah shortly. But then he says, if you're not sure whether or not you're going to be able to daven on the side of the road with kavana, because what happens if you stop on the side of the road? What's going to happen? I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? People are going to stop you there also. They're going to interrupt your tefillah. So again, there he already introduces the idea of finding a quiet corner in the hotel. It's like the first makeshift, you know, Mincha Minyan and the Concord Hotel or Grossinger's or whatever, you know, the Chever used to grow up with. So the Truman Tzedeshin is writing about this, where, you know, you're trying to find a quiet place on the side of the road or a quiet corner in the hotel. So, you know, basically he says you try to figure out where you'll have better kavana. So, that, you know, that's essentially what he says, which is amazing. And this is actually quoted in the Ramah. This Truman Tzedeshin makes it into the Shulchan Aruch. Simon Saadi Dalet, Sif Tess, the Ramah writes, if you're on the way to your hotel, if you could find an awkward corner in the airport or whatever, better to daven in the quiet corner of your airport or whatever, as opposed to waiting to the hotel, because the hotel will have Avodah Zarah. If the airport is too crazy or whatever, so there it is, black on white. Even in the Luxor, the real Luxor, the Ramah says you'll find a quiet corner that doesn't have a Avodah Zarah in it, and you'll daven, you'll daven. So all the holy Jews that are trying to get away and have, you know, precious moments with their family, who might not have direct access to a shul, you know what, a nice quiet hotel room ain't so bad. A nice quiet, we'll say a business room, you know, all these hotels down there, they have all these rooms. So you find it.
In those days, in Truman Tzedeshin, no one had that room.
Right, right. So
just a little one room cottage.
Yeah. So Karen Zavis, you know, in the lobby, whatever. They're, you know, in the Ramah, they found some corner somewhere, and Lord knows how many Jews have found corners of wherever if they were not able to find them. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah, yeah. Is there a question? So the Mishnah Berurah does explain again that you don't want to go into the hotel that has Avodah Zarah. Vein lahachnis l'sham davar shepekdusha shari. Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaShalom, Amar Ketesi Asir. It's just an amazing idea. That literally, the Rashi of our Parsha makes its way into the Truma Sadeshin, which makes its way into the Mishnah Berurah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu left Mitzrayim before he davened, that set a halachic precedent that we should also make sure the environment is clear of Avodah Zarah before we daven. Wow. Okay. So when the Mishnah Berurah elaborates on this quiet corner. So he says, "V'im b'kos le'mizrachi sham in underline." But at the end of the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Dalam, he says, "If in the eastern wall there is Avodah Zarah, don't face east." So hypothetically, if someone was staying in a hotel and there was a cross, I don't know, whatever. You know, often in hotels there's a Bible, so I wouldn't be so surprised if some hotel has some form of something.
A hospital room
is very good. A great example. So if someone finds themselves in a situation where there is something questionable and they would therefore not want to face east, so the halacha prefers that one not face the Avodah Zarah because it's better to not face the Avodah Zarah.
There was a podcast where Rav Aryeh Leibowitz,
yeah.
A gentleman, he had an office and he had a dog in front of his office.
Yeah.
If he faced east, if it's a window, he would be personally diving towards the window. But also,
you
got this church across the street.
Ooh, so Moshe has a true about a shul across the church. So, what, do you remember what the Pesach and Agos? So, Adam's there with the case.
Much
right, facing a church, it's hard to say. Yeah, I forget. I didn't really put that in. My Beit Halba Shlita has a shir on the topic that I'm speaking about tonight. And in that shir, he did quote that shul of Moshe about a shul with a window. He has that. I don't remember, unfortunately. That slightly different. I didn't go into the Avodah Zarah so much. That's good. Yeah, there's a lot of that renting out space here. So Ramosha really has like a few chugos. Yeah. There's a lot of Avodah Zarah Torah out there. Yeah, maybe another week we'll spend more stuff about Azara. But yeah, Ramosha definitely has enough chuvos that get us through these items. All right, so halacha number one, don't daven in the east wall if there's a Avodah Zarah there. Obviously, you want to daven in a quiet corner. Okay, so what often comes up, though, is erva. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Ayin Hey, so we were just in Simen Tzadi Dalid, but in Simen Ayin Hey, the Shulchan Aruch deals with reciting Kriya Shema in the presence of erva, and the halacha would be the same by davening as well. So Asur Likros Keneged Erva Afilu Shel Akum. Right, so you can't daven in the presence of a woman who is not dressed, etc. So one time I was on the way to an NCSY Shabbaton, and we were in the airport, and we were going to daven in our quiet corner, but the issue was we weren't facing a wall. We were facing the aisle of the airport, and I said we shouldn't daven here because what percentage of the women in the airport are covering their bodies properly? We should daven facing a wall. So some of the other NCSY staff said, that's crazy, come on, let's just daven and kind of move on. So, but they listened to me, and we moved across the aisle, so we faced the wall. And what ended up happening, I davened right next to a glass window of a concession stand that sold magazines. So, let's just say, you know, there was no greater, example of someone davening near Erva than the Marv that I davened, because the very next, the Sefer Shulchan Aruch says, Erva Bashashis. Let's say there is Erva through a glass container or window. So you see the erva through the glass, usher likros connected. So again, my chumrah led to maybe a successful shmon esrei for everyone else who davened with me, but that is totally usher. So you're not allowed to see it. If it's visible, it's visible. So if you're davening in Penn Station and there's some magazine rack, or whatever, so often Baruch Hashem, the erva is relatively covered, whatever. Anyway, I wasn't talking about a magazine that was completely, completely bad, but any cover of a magazine. Will often be, we'll say, quote unquote, provocative, and be in the cover, be in the halachic category of erva, even if
TV,
yeah, television that's on. I'm just saying the point is don't even if it's not the worst form of erva, there are so many other examples of erva, so it's bad. Now the halacha says in Hilchos Vav over there, how you say erva connected. So let's say you wanted to have a mincha by the pool, so you're in Miami Beach and you say, listen, shkia is coming again on a mincha. But there are women bathing suits in me, so I got to turn around. So the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you turn around, you're okay. You close your eyes, or it's nighttime, or if you're blind, it would be permissible. So the truth is, according to the Shulchan Aruch, as long as you don't see it, it's okay. It's all about whether you see it, which means that's why the glass window is not okay, and that's why turning around is okay. But the Mishnah Brura points out that it's not okay. Oh, okay. Yes, obviously. People who are swimming bring their jacket and hat to change into for mincha. I take that for granted. Yeah. So if you would wear as a high school rabbi, if a kid is wearing flip flops and shorts and he's having mincha, I say shkoyach for the mincha. If the father, the fathers who are out there listening, say put on a respectable.
Six-year-old kid comes in and it's not.
Shorts. We really again in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, where it's normal and you had to go to work like that or whatever, you have to know what's called honorable, what's called presentable. So maybe in Miami Beach, if you go to a golf course, by the way, golf courses have very, we'll say, classy atmospheres, and they'll say you can't wear shorts there. I remember because I had that experience once. I was told to put on pants at a golf course, and I was like, dude, I'm not a millionaire, I put on pants. Like he won, so hypothetically, though, it needs to be presentable. Right? I don't want to be so clear. Okay. I could see people in Miami saying, what do you mean? Everyone wears presentable shorts in Miami. It depends on the atmosphere. I don't want to be too rigid. But obviously, things that are obvious are obvious. You should look presentable when you speak to the master of the universe. So I remember I asked Rav Willig if it's always okay to turn around. Because the Mishnah Berurah says not everyone agrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Ishmael Rivulik was going to Mishnah Berurah. He said, no. You can't just turn. It's not always okay just to turn your, close your eyes. Because the Mishnah Berurah says, V'achronim iskimu d'chol elo eitzes levad ma'chispanim lo mahani. Meaning, what does the Torah say? It doesn't say, V'lo tira, elo v'lo yeira, So what does v'lo yeira mean? Lo yeira ha'roeh, v'afilo achzor ispanim. Meaning, even if you were to turn your face, you're still in the presence of the erva, which means that unless you really turn your body, you mean you rotate your head a certain degree, you know, whether it's 90 degrees or whatever, you're still in the, we'll call them, the vision. It's in your eyesight. Okay, your eyes might be closed, but the bottom line is it's still v'lo yeira'eh. The Torah is saying lo yeira'eh haro'eh, meaning if you were to be looking, and you, if your eyes were open, would be seeing there. But that's the problem. So v'achzaras panim shetu hu rak dafkim hechzer kol gufo. And the Mishnah Berura says that it's not enough even just to turn your head. You need to actually turn your entire body. V'omid b'tzad acher denasas ever mitzido. So if you were to be davening at a pool, at a beach, or whatever, so it's not enough just to close your eyes. If your eyes were open, you would see things that are inappropriate. What you would need to do is face the ocean, face a wall. Very nice. In the same way that Noah's children, very nice. Very nice. So they didn't want to see their father's erva, and therefore they turned 180 degrees. So too, the Mishnah Berura is saying 180 degrees. And when I asked Rav Willig how we should kind of hold on this one, he basically referenced this Mishnah Berura, and that was that. So for all of those, so what do you? So very good. So on an airplane, there's nothing you can do. If you are davening, again, there's certain times you're stuck. So that's what's going to happen. Like in an airport, even when I tried to be machmir, so it would have been much better if I would have davened in the first location, the second location, far better. So you have to know number one, if you close your eyes or you're looking at your sitter, you have the Shulchan Aruch. It was the Mishnah Berura who said that your eyesight's not enough. It's what your eyesight would be seeing. So the Shulchan Aruch himself, though, said, if you see the erva, it's a problem. And if you don't see the erva, it's not a problem. Which means if someone were to take their sitter up to their eyes and look straight at the page, you have the Shulchan Aruch to rely upon. So that's certainly reliable. But again, if you're in a situation where there are women around you, bathing suits of Manal Islam, you don't want to be facing them. You want to be facing a different direction. Even when you're not davening. But if you want to be davening like a mensch, you don't face that stuff. Your eyes are closed. You're looking at the sitter. Okay. Makes it less worse. But it's still not 100% good according to all authorities. And therefore that. So thus far, we've kind of addressed the Avodah Zarah issue. We've addressed the Erva issue. When we daven, we don't want to be facing Erva. So that means turn your body. Turn your body away from the erva. Good. Okay, let's get a little bit less dramatic and a little bit more subtle. When we daven, we like to daven in a shul. Often, I find myself davening in a classroom. TABC Mincha is in a classroom. So that classroom might be a history classroom. By the way, back to the Luxor. You daven in a history classroom. There's a picture of Pharaoh right on the wall. TABC, again, wonderful historical context, not in a different version of that term, meaning the context of the classroom is a history lesson. So you might have some Egyptian gods pictured on the wall, whatever. No one's obviously worshiping that in TABC, but it's a problem. So I found myself in similar situations, and in YU, we always were daven in the shiur room. So again, depending on the year, actually, but it's rather common for a shiur in YU to daven mincha with the Rebbe in the shiur room after shiur, in a classroom. And what might be taught later in that classroom? I don't know, philosophy or math or whatever. It's a classroom. My own bar mitzvah was at the Somerset Marriott Hotel. It was a weekend bar mitzvah. And you know what? I leaned in the room in the morning, and some college kids had rented it out that night for some party, so the room was not exactly a shul, even though we had services there that morning.
Multi-purpose.
Oh yeah, so multi-purpose. So let's talk about a Gemara, which is often quoted in these contexts. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce everything properly, so I'm going to have the art scroll open up. But Rabbi Ari Mirzov, a close friend of mine who grew up with him, has a shiur. We quoted Rav Zilberstein, a similar shaila, and again Rabbi Talbot has a shiur on YU Torah about a similar topic. And here is the Gemara, which says the following. If I don't find an article, I just have to read it. All right. Some of you will correct me. I don't know how to. I'm a Rabbi Yossi Baruch. What does the Pasuk mean when it says, Oh, all right, so here. Here it is. We're going to skip it just for the sake of time. It's breaking down Sukkim in Zechariah. And he shall be like a chief in Judah, and Ekron shall be like Yevusi. So Elu Atrios Vikirkisayos Sheba Edom. This refers to the amphitheaters and the circuses of Edom. Okay. Shasidim Sar Yehuda Lalamed Bahem Torah Barabim. So the Gemara here actually says that these stadiums, again, the circuses, exactly. So the amphitheaters and the circuses, one day, seemingly when Mashiach comes, or I don't know, sometime in the future, will be used for what? For Torah teaching in public. Wow. So right away, Jerome said, that's what happens at the Siyam Mashas. Right? That's exactly what happens at the Siyam Mashas. So there's a machlokas how to learn this. The Tosfos says, Yesh Mefarshim Bate Avodas Kochavim. Wow. This were literally places where they would worship gods. And again, without going into too many details, the Tosfos says, but it can't be, because how could it be that a place that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah would then be transformed into a place where you daven? He doesn't think that that 180-degree turn is appropriate. So he wants to argue, what? Is that the intro? Right. So here is just the room. Right. So meaning the Asherah, the actual tree that's worshipped, so you can't use that, whatever, you know, voters have to burn. So what about the room where they worshipped it? So this is a classic shaila, can you transform a church into a shul, right? This is like, you know, one of the numerous makoros. So Tosfos here is arguing, you can't learn it as these stadiums were used for the actual worship. Rather, it must have just been a place where they gathered, meaning over the Avodah Zarah would go there on a social level, but not that they actually worshipped Avodah Zarah there. Fascinating. And this actually comes up in the poskim, how to learn this Gemara. So again, I guess we'll skip the Magen Avraham, but again, there is a concept of how far you can go. Again, I guess we'll skip this. A machlokas between the Mdogo Marvav and Magen Avraham. For the sake of time, I guess we'll oversee that. But essentially, this would be a great source to say that, let's say, a makom that was used literally for Avodah Zarah may not potentially be used for tefillah. So let's say the social hall where I davened at my own bar mitzvah. Was it safe to assume that at one point or another there was Avodah Zarah worshipped in that room?
It might have been in one time, but it wasn't yuchat for that room.
Ah, so
it
because...
It could have been a convention for Buddhism.
Right. So you have the same hotel that rents out the same room for any religion that takes it. So is that okay or not okay? So there's an amazing tshuva, again, of Ramosha, and then I really want to get to this comment of the beer halacha. So Ramosha does have a tshuva from Rav Menachem Tzvi Eichenstein, who was an Av based in St. Louis. Wow. Unbelievable. And he offered the Sefer pre-Yoshua. Okay. And essentially he asked this question, where there was a place that was used for very bad things, and then Jews wanted to rent it out for davening purposes. So let's say you wanted a Pesach getaway at a place that is very, we'll say, treif. Not in terms of Avodah Zarah, but let's just say any... What? Yeah, exactly. It's just like not a kosher place, right? So Rav Moshe says that you were right, Rav Eichenstein, to be machmir, and there's no way that it's okay. There's no shaila. And he says the place that you daven has an effect on the efficacy of your prayer. So Rav Moshe writes explicitly, "Have a makom asiyas toevos shesano elo eno makom ratzor li tefila klal." And he says even if you were to daven there with a minion, the Shechina is not present. Unbelievable, right? So we know the Kedusha of the Shechina. And if you think that you're doing a mitzvah by renting out a makom tuma, it's a makom sonoi that Hashem does not appreciate. It's a toeva. Wow. Shalo have raton klal. Unbelievable. So this would be a pretty rare scenario. I don't know if anyone can think of a case like this where Jews are renting out a place that is like... I know, but hypothetically... Yeah, so something like that would be like exactly this. So I it's hard for me to think. I don't really get what Ramosha is speaking about.
That's how the reform movement started. They rented out one. Yeah. They rented out a place. They said, hey, this is great. Men and women can sit together.
Yes. That's very, very true. It was a Robert Bruce.
Yeah, are you talking about a place that is always used for that
thing? Yes.
Like if it was sometimes used for it, but on a temporary basis, that would be okay.
That's exactly right. He says, B'makom shekavu lepritzus v'hololus.
Nightclub.
So yeah. I don't want to say the term, but hypothetically, a nightclub or whatever, was then rented out by a bunch of Jews for a Pesach getaway. I'd be like, no. And Moshe says, no way. So, but I want to contrast that with the Bi'ur Halacha because the Shulchan Aruch says, Hasochrim buys a mispalim bo. Let's say you rent a house and you daven in that house. Ein lo din beis haknesses. So if you were to rent out a house as a shul that doesn't have the halachic status of a shul. So the idea there, the Mishnah Berurah explains, is that you're renting it out for a month or a year or whatever. So why is it not a shul? You have it rented out. Why is it not a shul? Because the Baal HaBayis could kick you out. So although you rented it out, it's not yours. So what would be the nafka mina? Look at the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha, again, we'll get inside, but he says that what would be the nafka mina, that if you couldn't be kicked out, meaning the makor of this is the Re Ben Chaviv, where people unfortunately had to hide their davening. It was a time of persecution or whatever. And they were renting out these places against the rulings of the government. But the contrast would be that in our generation, where you're doing it out in the open and the government is aware of what you're doing, and essentially it's really yours, and you can't just get kicked out, so that would have the status of a shul. So even though you're going to get kicked out after your rental is over, that's not called akrai, that's actually called kavius. So someone who rents out a hotel, so for my bar mitzvah, right? So I think you could argue that because the hotel manager literally would not dare, mess with my parents who were paying, top dollar for the hall, for the 24 hours we had it, so that was like a shul for 24 hours. I think the nature of the rental, okay, although it's short term, but it's non-negotiable short term. It's like mine for 24 hours. So I think you can argue that although it's awkwardly transitioning very quickly to a very different tone, the second hour rental is over, there's a very different chevra coming in, but ultimately, in the same way we cannot interfere with their party, they cannot interfere with ours. And you have the room that is literally multi-purpose, but when it's your function, it's your function. So potentially, you could say that it has kedusha, I guess, based on what we're saying there. Okay, so again, there's so much to say, but again, the Gemara Brachos says that Rav Avin bar Ada, Amar Avin bar Rav Ada, and Amar Yitzchak, that we know that Hashem is found in the shul, and that's what we should always try to daven in shul. But the only thing that trumps a shul, as Dr. Karp said, is what? What's the only thing that's superior to a shul? Beis Medrash, right? Because where's the Shechina nowadays after the Korban Abayis? Ein be'ela b'dal and amoshel halacha. Listen, is this a multifunction room? Right? So is it true that maybe the room we're sitting in right now is a little bit, quote unquote, less Kedusha than the main sanctuary upstairs? Yeah.
Right.
So it's double-edged sword. All right, Zion, but bottom line is, in the same way that we can have a Purim carnival, they wouldn't have a Purim carnival. So it's a little tricky. But ultimately, as we learned, this is a room where the Shechina comes, and we should be zochet to continue bringing the Shechina to more and more places. And again, I did speak, again, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Markowitz, myself, we were all obviously more than okay with the move downstairs. But in the same way that we encourage someone to bring Shechina to more places, so again, halavai, the biggest heter we should ever need is to dive in a multi-purpose social hall of a shul. And again, if someone's in an awkward situation. Yeah, so the living room, not my cup of tea. Maybe for a different, we've spoken about it before, but ideally we should all be zocha to go to the Shechina and not run away from the Shekhinah. So much more to talk about, but it is now 9:01.